As you're being seated, our kids are now invited to go to worship and children's church. It's a beautiful sight to see them going, and they have such beautiful opportunities here, not only to have worship in this hour, but the next service, what we know as Sunday school, educating and giving our children so many opportunities. What a blessing. In Baptism Sunday, what I wanted to present to you today is just what we simply call our doctrine of baptism, but I give a little preface. This is in our tradition, known as the Wesleyan Armenian, the Methodist way of understanding baptism, the covenant. So we'll look at that today using the book of Acts in that letter. So let's first pray. Bring our petitions, if you look at your bulletin and just all the different names, care center, hospital, missions, ministries, there's many there. So let's pray. Loving Father, Heavenly King, we praise you and we thank you. We love you and adore you and just lift up our hearts and our minds and focus upon you and all your greatness. The many blessings, how you lead and guide us, how you even use our struggles and issues in life to draw us closer to you, but also to show the world just how powerful and mighty you truly are and how much you love us. Thank you for all the many things that you do to draw us to your presence. Father, we praise you that we have the opportunity that you would even desire to hear from us is beyond our human comprehension. So, Father, we are thankful for that big word we use, intercession, to just speak on behalf of those we love, those we don't even know. So we pray for all those around the world this day that worship you. It is just mind-boggling that at all hours and all minutes of our day, there is someone somewhere in this world praising you and worshiping you. For all our brothers and sisters in the East who have already had their Sunday morning. For those on the far West who are just now starting their day. It is amazing, and here we are in our hour before you. So may the whole world cry out in praise and worship to you. We thank you. We thank you for how you can heal and how you can take those who are hurting and provide them hope, and you can provide them your presence and your peace. So we do pray for those, Father, that are hospitalized, those that are hurting, those who are dealing with not only pending surgeries and procedures, but those who are recovering and trying to heal. Those, Father, that are not only trying to heal, but we do know of some who have had even adverse reactions to medication and those things that were supposed to help. So help them to find new ways to bring healing and calm in their life and in their particular situation. We pray for those who have celebrated the union of marriage these past few weeks, but also those who mourn and grieve the loss of a loved one. We pray for those that are in our care centers and nursing facilities, that even in the state that they seem to be in, deep in their soul, Father, you still commune with them and in your mighty ways that are far beyond our understanding. You reach them and they can commune and worship you in their unique way. For this day that celebrates the coming of salvation, those that have made the profession of faith and would like to Bring forth to us this newfound life. We praise you for baptism, for this sacrament that you have given to us, for the great work you have done in their life through your Son, Jesus. So be with us now as we journey through this covenant with you. May we, Father, understand how powerful this opportunity is for us, for even your Son was baptized. And may they hear the words in their soul today that you are pleased with their decision to be reconciled with you through your Son, Jesus. We give you praise, we give you thanks, in Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 2, verses 38 to 41. I normally read from the New Revised Standard Version. Acts is a very powerful book in getting the church established and on the right road and in the right direction. So Acts chapter 2, 38 to 41. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments, and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who were welcomed by his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. Talking about baptism today, of course, in the Wesleyan tradition, we have a little phrase we like to say, and that is, baptism is known as the outward sign of an inward grace. Baptism for us is one of two sacraments, not only Holy Communion, but also what we celebrate today, baptism. Baptism is not only a ritual, it's not only a sacrament, but what we rarely understand sometimes is it's also a command. Jesus commands this as taught by Scripture. According to our denomination, the Free Methodist Church, baptism is seen as a means of grace through faith. It's a token of our profession of Christian faith. It's a sign of God's gracious ministry toward us. And by baptism, it is God who works within us to quicken, strengthen, and confirm our faith. It is through this beautiful sacrament we call baptism that we as Christians are given our identity as people for whom Jesus Christ lived, died, and was resurrected. It is through this sacrament that we practice today of baptism that we find that we are benefits, heirs of atonement of Jesus Christ. It is a time for us that we openly declare our faith to the world that Jesus Christ is indeed Savior. In baptism, we are initiated into the membership within the universal Christian church, but it also incorporates us here into the local body, the community of God's people that we call church. By baptism, we are commissioned into our ministries, our calling, and by baptism, we are called to continue the work of Christ. It is our commissioning to go forward with the gospel, to help build the kingdom of God and to tell the world that they can be redeemed through the blood of the Lamb and find their own salvation through Jesus. God has chosen to use this sacrament of baptism as just simply one of the many, many ways to show his great love for us. The grace offered to us in baptism, it's a grace that's been made available through the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. So when we are baptized, and when we see those baptized today, we see that it is true, that it is, we become witnesses to a truth that we have received new life, eternal life in Jesus Christ. That yes, it is true, we are justified in the sight of God, and that through our repentance to turn from our sinful ways, it is true to boldly proclaim, yes, that old life of mine, it's gone, and my new life in Jesus is just begun. Baptism announces to the world that we have confessed our sins, we have received forgiveness from God, and that we are cleansed by the saving power of our Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the beautiful message that really relates to the very heart of the Christian faith, which is to come to that understanding, to have that epiphany, to have that awakening, that even though I was a broken, sinful person, and I was in need of God's mercy, grace, forgiveness, and redemption, that I can receive it, and that I did receive it, and I accept it. Because we had to get to that point, because realizing sin's destructive power, God made it very clear to us that the realm of Satan and his destructive power is something to be reckoned with. You need to deal with that and make a decision. You need restoration. We are sinful people in need of a Savior. And unless we accept that reality of sin and our fallenness, the reality is the Christian message will not make a whole lot of sense, not only to us, but especially those who are still in that realm of darkness. So that's the truth we are confronted with today, is we need to deal with our sinfulness, period. Because something we have to understand is that sin, it's not so much something we commit as it is a condition we are in. We are in a state of sin. We are sinful creatures who live in a world we have made sinful. But the good news for us today in this message of the baptismal covenant is to realize there's a cure for this. There is a way out from this for us. And this is what makes baptism so beautiful, because it speaks so vividly of God's remedy for this sinful condition. Baptism is an outward sign that the one being baptized has dealt with that sinful condition. They have dealt with the sins through confession, through repentance, and by asking the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive them as well as their sins. So the water used that you'll see in baptism for us is symbolic. It's a symbol to show that Jesus Christ truly indeed, through that water, is washing. He's washing our sins away to show us that he has truly forgiven us and has made us clean from the past. And this is the whole point of the gospel, that we can receive redemption, forgiveness, mercy, grace, most importantly, reconciliation, to come back into a proper relationship with God, that we can actually, with our own mouth, call him Father. God is not willing to leave us stuck in that sinful condition. That's the other part of that good news message. Because God is always in everything, every moment of our life, whether we are cognizant of that or not, every moment of the day, God is working and acting to save us. That's the entire story of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. The Bible is full of God's story, his effort to bring us back into a loving, personal, and intimate relationship with him, which is the whole point of why he created us in the first place. The restoration of this relationship is known as salvation. We may call it being born again. That is, confessing our sins, asking God to forgive us of our sins, but also to forgive us for committing those sins, and then asking Jesus Christ, come into my life. I surrender to you. Be my Lord and Savior. And for those individuals who choose to do that and to get to that point in their life, there's where the joy begins, because they joyfully embark on this new life in Methodism we call sanctification, or as John Wesley liked to say, it's a pursuit of going onward towards perfection, working towards being holy and righteous. To live a sanctified life where the Holy Spirit is welcomed into our hearts, into our lives, to help us conform to the image of Jesus. We do that through, of course, it's not automatic. You have to make that willful choice that through the Holy Spirit, I will surrender, I will be radically obedient, and I will live a life of repentance. So if we will do that much, go towards perfection, go on, as we say, the sanctified life, empowered by the Holy Spirit, you will soon find that it is possible. Yes, I really can do this. I can live a life that is conformed to the image of Christ. Yes, I can truly let go of myself and get self out of the way and die to self, and even redirect my heart more towards God to please and serve him each and every day. And that is what is symbolized by this wonderful covenant we call baptism, because it's a celebration. We should have a party. It should be a joyous occasion, because it celebrates becoming a brand new person in Jesus Christ. And this is why the ceremony of baptism is emphasizing putting off the old, going into the water, rising in newness of life, coming back to Jesus, renouncing the evil powers of Satan and the world. And then a very important step too, it's saying I'm pledging my allegiance and my loyalty to Jesus Christ and to Christ alone. And the only meaning surrounding baptism is to proclaim that salvation is made possible for us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and Christ alone. So this, the one person who comes forward and is being baptized, as we'll witness today, what we understand through that symbolism of them coming into and out of the water is that they are pledging allegiance to Jesus, that the Holy Spirit is truly welcomed in their life, and they receive the Spirit's power to be able to say, as the Scriptures tell us, that Jesus is Lord. Baptism becomes that outward expression of their faith, and that they are choosing to willfully live a life committed to Jesus as Lord. So it's a celebration. We celebrate baptism, and that's the reason we celebrate, because if we do anything other than that, the harsh reality is just understanding that any other way cheapens, if not blasphemes, the whole point of God loving us so much that he would step down from heaven through his son Jesus to send him to take on and experience our humanity in order to suffer and die on the cross for us. And this is why it's very important for us as Christians to take baptism with the utmost seriousness, to ensure that we do not try to redefine it or degrade it down to nothing more than just some hollow ritual that the church does. We cannot use baptism as if it was nothing more than just an initiation ceremony for joining the church, or that baptism somehow is the same thing as salvation. Now, yes, baptism initiates you into the body of Christ, but baptism all by itself, without the salvation, without the Jesus part of the relationship, that does not save us, nor will it make us members of the body of Christ. It just makes us wet sinners for the most part. The water is not a magic potion, is it? It's not a substitute for Jesus Christ, because if it was nothing more than a ritual of water, we would have never needed Jesus in the first place. All we would need to do to get to heaven, it was to have someone just douse us with a lot of water. So what I'm saying is, when it comes to baptism and our covenant, we cannot skip over salvation. You must be born again. You cannot skip over dealing with your sinful condition. We cannot skip dealing with the issue that you must repent. And that word repent means not just to be aware of needing to turn, but to make the willful choice, the decision to turn, and then to actually turn and never return. We cannot skip over the fact that baptism is not something that we are doing, but it is God and God alone working in and through the baptism as a means of grace, that He is truly forgiving our sins, adopting you back into His family, restoring His relationship with you, and now you can actually be called His child, and you as a child can return and call Him Father. So for me, baptism is not a spectacle for us to make sport of, but rather a way for us in which God shows that He has done everything possible. He's done all that is necessary through the atoning sacrifice of His Son, Jesus, to put us all back into a proper relationship with Him. Intimacy and knowledge and love and assurance. There's a lot with that relationship. This is why baptism is a covenant. This is why we as Christians believe in one baptism for one lifetime. It's because it's a binding agreement. It's a covenant. It's an unbreakable promise that God has made with us so that if we will repent and turn from our sins and become baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, yes, we can have the assurance our sins are forgiven. The Holy Spirit has indeed come upon us, and that we can be fruitful ambassadors for the kingdom of God. All because of what God does in the covenant of baptism. We, as His children, can now trust Him for what He does. The trust is not in how much water can be dispensed or what the age, disposition, or condition of the one being baptized may be in. In other words, as Methodists, whether we sprinkle, dip, or pour, or if it's an adult, a child, an infant, physically or mentally challenged person, that's not the issue. The issue is God's grace being displayed in the life of His children through the symbolism of water and through this covenant of baptism. So let us remember, when it comes to this beautiful sacrament, in baptism, God offers, and we have the choice to accept. To accept the forgiveness of our sins, to be redeemed and restored into a proper relationship with our God. And with the pardoning of sin, which has separated us from God, it's coming to the realization that I am now justified. I kind of like that word, because if you hear the word justified, do you hear it in there? Just if I'd never sinned before. Because everything's gone, everything's dealt with, everything's taken care of, and it's covered in the blood of the Lamb. Justification, pardon, freedom, freed from the guilt, freed from the penalty of sin. And I like that word restoration, to be restored back into a proper relationship, to get back into that relationship with God the way it was intended to be all along before, as we've learned in Sunday school, before Adam and Eve messed it all up. This reconciliation is only made possible through that atonement. I like that word too, A-T-O-N-E, atonement. If you take and kind of separate the T from the O and atone, creates two more words, doesn't it? At one. That's a good way to remember atonement. It brings you back at one, oneness with your Heavenly Father. That's another beautiful gift of baptism, to be atoned to the blood of Christ, to be back at one with God. Another beautiful gift, that once baptism and the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that your work for His kingdom begins through the presence of the Holy Spirit working in you and through you to empower you, to guide and direct you. That's why we respond. We respond by confessing and repenting of our sins, and then affirm our faith in Jesus Christ, who has fully and completely accomplished everything that was necessary for your salvation and for your ability to have eternal life in the kingdom of God. So it is through baptism that we, once we come out of that water and remember once again, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, we are members of God's very own family, and we belong in God's household with every other Christian. It's a beautiful thing not only to be reconciled with God, but to also be brought into a relationship with other believers, that the people that you fellowship with and worship with are not only other people, but now you can refer to them as brother or sister. So let us, those who have been baptized already into the family of God, we simply just reaffirm our baptism and rejoice. And for those who may not yet belong to the family, the time is now, as we learned in Acts, as Peter said, it's time to realize what you need to do, and that is to repent, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and for eternal life in the kingdom of God. That is why we respond to this baptismal covenant, and that's why Peter was so adamant in expressing that in the book of Acts, that we must make that decision. We pray that we have made that decision today. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your redeeming power through your Son, Jesus. We are grateful, but Father, we stand in awe to think that you did all that was necessary. You took the initiative, you paid the price through the blood of your Son. Your desire was that great, was that intense to bring us back to you. So, Father, for all of us who have been baptized, help us to recall our baptism and be grateful that we can be called your child. If we still struggle with that decision, help us to finally just let go of this world and self and surrender to you by confessing our sins, asking for your forgiveness and reconciliation, and that you would redeem us through Jesus. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you. We give you glory and praise for your great work in our life. For it is in your Son's name, Jesus, that we do pray. Amen.